Season 2, Episode 5, Simone Says, the very first episode featuring Jimmy Smits as Bobby Simone on NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up with Simone crossing out Kelly on the little locker, which I think was kind of on purpose.
I always took that as a... That was like a the writers or the creators' like little way of saying, like their own little way of not needing him.
It's pretty poetic that this is the episode I get to talk about it. I finished True Blue, the book written by David Milch and Detective Bill Clark about the stories that made several episodes of NYPD Blue, and it was written towards the end of season two, and after the kerfuffle with Caruso. So there's a lot of fertile ground when talking about what happened exactly with Caruso, where they talk about exactly what happened between all of them and how it went down. And let's just say they were all really excited to have Jimmy Smits on board.
Well, he was supposed to be the original person.
And Bill Clark, who was not really, I don't think was really involved in much of the original process in terms of season one. He became like a permanent fixture later when he like retired from being a New York cop to being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He tells a story about how when he met Caruso, Caruso said, "Oh yeah, I used to do lineups for NYPD all the time when I was younger. So I would be in lineups and they'd give me $20. And then after Caruso left the room, Bill Clark was like, "Yeah, that guy's full of shit. I would have never given $20 to anybody for standing in a lineup." And they said, well, maybe they did it because he's so specific, because he's a ginger. Like, if it was for a ginger guy, like, you have to find, like, five gingers really quick. He's like, no, you don't understand me. I would never give a guy $10 to stand in a lineup, let alone $20 for any reason. And he's like, from that point on, Bill Clark kind of had, like, this standoffish feelings towards David Caruso, thinking that he wasn't really the coolest.
That's weird. That's really weird.
Also, when Jimmy Smits showed up to set and was like, this guy's going to be on the show, and they would shoot outside locations in New York, but a lot of the inside stuff in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
When Bill Clark met Jimmy Smits, he actually took him around for like a whole week. Like, he took him to crime scenes and like had him hang out with other cops. And, like, introduced him to a whole bunch of people. And it was, like, pretty clear from the beginning, like, oh, Bill Clark really likes Jimmy Smits. And is really excited for him to be a part of the show.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, Jimmy Smits is, like, he seems like the coolest dude in the world from what little I know about him in this book. And...
yeah.
Anyway, this episode, it's important because the dynamic between Sipowicz and Simone grows into probably one of the greatest detective partnerships in the history of television. And it starts with Sipowicz just not liking him for no reason.
No, there's a reason. It's because he's new, and Sipowicz isn't ready to deal with that change yet. So I get it.
But if you remember in the scene, he just says, "Hey, how are you doing?" Sipowicz leaves that room and goes up to Fancy and says, "Hey, this guy isn't going to work out." And when Fancy says why, he's like, "Oh, you know, he's just coming in saying, how are you?" and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he has no reason.
His logic is flawed, but I understand it because he doesn't do well with change, and then he just lost a partner that he had for a really long time. And so I get it. I get why he's a little hesitant. That's all I'm saying.
Also in the opening of the show, Lesniak's ex comes into the station.
Drunk.
Drunk and sweaty and a mess. And
pushes past Abundando.
Yeah, he breaks through the gate that keeps the normals away from the regular detectives, and rolls up to Lesniak and then says, "I got a gun pointed at her under the desk." Which, I mean, maybe it's because he's drunk. I don't understand the logic in anything that he's doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's supposed to represent that he's been pushed to the edge. You know, like he's on his last... like, this is it for him. He's been pushed, like, she's never around, she doesn't talk to him, he's an alcoholic, and so I think he's just kind of pushed to the edge.
And he starts insulting everybody in the precinct, where he's, well, not everybody, but he's like, "And that bitch won't transfer you to me and says, you're never here.
Yeah.
And starts lashing out.
But he knows Caruso in an earlier episode, and he's an asshole to Caruso, and I think that's also supposed to represent that he is kind of,
He's just a dick to everybody in the...
Yeah, he's just kind of fucked. He's just kind of fucked up right now. That Lesniak pussy will do it to you.
Really? You think so?
It's gotta be.
It just turned him crazy? It's just, she's that cool?
It's gotta be, from what it seems like.
That's another thing that this show, like, this episode has to do, which they even talked about in the book. They have to transition this brand new character, give him depth, but not give too much away so that they can write off of him. But they need to find ways to show that he's gonna be a good lead so that everyone can relax after Caruso leaves. So in the first couple minutes, they have they have him just take down this dude like Batman in the middle of a struggle when he has a gun and he fights.
Well, because Fancy and Sipowicz can't take him down.
Which is weird, because I figured Fancy could probably do it.
Well, I mean, Fancy kind of already had him down. Like, kind of had him. From what I remember, the dude kicks Sipowicz, and that's what sends Sipowicz flying. So then Simone steps in and pushes him down.
And takes him out.
Yeah.
And then even after that, Sipowicz kind of isn't, like, jiving with him. And they catch a case that is, like, some mob guy's son. He's got a last name in Junior, connected with a mob family, and every person they talk to, they say he's like, oh, he's just like kind of a dick who uses that money and lets everybody know around him all the time that he's connected and his dad's super important and he's throwing money everywhere.
Yeah.
And he gets shot outside of his girlfriend's place, and our old woman was also hit.
Yeah.
And it does that NYPD Blue thing where they're looking at one crime scene and then a lady comes out screaming and Sipowicz, he shows his hard side by taking that dude down, and then he shows the soft side by being a shoulder for that lady to cry on.
Kind of. I don't know. I kind of felt like he kind of just casted that off to Simone to deal with.
Sipowicz? But... You mean he cast it off to Sipowicz to deal with? I'm pretty sure he sat down with her and was like, we understand, like, the... bad things happen, and we just gotta figure out what happened to take care of the...
Oh, yeah, my bad.
And then, because this guy's all mobbed up, the first thing they do is try to find the girlfriend. To figure out, like, oh, does he have enemies? Things like that.
Yeah, because it was her apartment, right?
Mm-hmm, it was at her apartment. And while they're talking to her, and basically asking some standard questions, like, does he have any enemies, this and that... Simone is really nice to her and offers up a drink, and then she asks for food, and he's like, yeah, I'll go out and get it, and then Sipowicz and him have a little mini argument. Because he's like...
he was just annoyed.
And eventually it gets squared away, because he says, like, I'm leaving room for the possibility that she'll mention a boyfriend, because we want her on our side if we know that there's another guy in the picture that may have done this, and she doesn't want to cut all ties with him, like, to get a confession or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, Simone was playing it the smart way, and then Sipowicz was just upset that he was being nursemaid.
And not being a hard ass to her, even though she didn't deserve a hard ass at that point.
And I don't have the exact line, but he's like, I like to actually get something from him before I start offering him breakfast.
Sorry, you cut out. What was that?
He says something to the effect of, I like to wait until they give me something before I offer them breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. So, excuse me. So Sipowicz is a little annoyed. I just think he's annoyed because it's a new partner.
Yeah, eventually he even says, like, hey, I was way wrong on that. It was right to go by the boyfriend. And you could see in this episode, Sipowicz takes a backseat a lot to just watch how Simone works. Like, he doesn't say a whole lot of anything.
Fancy even says to him, like, you're the senior officer, you need to work with him. Like, even though Sipowicz doesn't want to work with him, he's like, you're the senior officer, you need to work with him, even if it's for the, like, I need you to show him around. And so, no matter what Sipowicz was going to hang out hang back and watch, because I feel like that's how he deals with it, and that's how he was going to deal with it, is to let's see what he could do, you know what I mean?
But that is very different from the way, if you remember Lesniak's first day, because he had a personal connection to the story, or the yeah. person, she basically showed up and he's like, yeah, I already got this figured out, you can get me coffee, or you can, like, just get the fuck out of the way, because I don't need your help, I just need you to, like, write the reports and go re-canvas in case something else comes up. But in this one...
But you pointed out, he was more involved. And also, Lesniak was never going to become his partner. Simona is set up to be his partner. So, like, yeah, even if he's rude to her, he doesn't have to ride with her everywhere. So there's also that difference.
But even in the context of the show, they're not sure that they're going to be partners. It may come out to where they redistribute people because it won't work out with Sipowicz. But like you said, Fancy wants Simone to be with the best of the crew, which is Sipowicz.
Oh, I disagree a little bit. I never thought that Simone was whoever was gonna come in after Caruso left. I never thought that anyone else was going to switch around.
Oh, I'm talking about within the context of the show. Like, if it was a working police room, like a working detective precinct, like, if two guys don't work with each other, they'd switch them around. So what Fancy is trying to tell Sipowicz is, like, this guy isn't your new partner, you just need to work, like, see what he can do. Because if you remember, it's kind of a throwaway line that is brought up later. He's coming from a driving job. Like, he was on driving, like, post.
He drove the mayor, right?
Mm-hmm. He would drive with the mayor. And it becomes kind of a point where Sipowicz, because this is how he is, he assumes, like, he says in this episode, I work my ass off to get detective first grade, and this guy just drives the mayor around. He has the assumption that Simone is not a good cop. He just came from, like, a cush job. And we find out later that that's tying in with his haunted past, which is why he had to take that job. But we'll get into that meeting a little bit later.
Haunted past, I feel like that's aggressive.
Haunted past? I mean, it's not a nice past.
Well, it's not haunted. It's not like, it's not like scary things. It's just unfortunate things. You know what I mean? I feel like a haunted past is like you were molested as a child. And then you were put in, like, foster care where you were abused, you know, shit like that. I feel like that's more of a haunted past. I don't know. That's just me personally.
Speaking of haunted past with molestation, Lesniak and Medavoy pick up a case about a woman who comes in and says, can't you talk to my husband? He's doing weird things with my daughter, but I don't want to file a...
police report.
A police report.
You're welcome for that segue, by the way.
I know. I mean, yeah, you were setting it up, and I was getting ready to serve it back.
Fucking put it on a tee for you.
I gotta tell you, Kyle, we're really good at podcasting as we record through an iPad, and you are laying down.
Set that shit up waist high on a tee for you, bitch.
But you're welcome. That was a very creepy, not very good feeling thing, because, like,
oh, that whole story was weird. Like, the way the husband was acting, and, like, the mom knew about it, but, like, still took her a while to, like, do something about it.
And then Lesniak's like, no, you gotta bring your daughter in, you just have to bring your daughter in, and you gotta file a report, like, nothing else is gonna work. And she brings him in, and, like, the daughter, it's so gross, because it starts out like, I think my husband might be doing something to our daughter. I'm like, what makes you say that? And she's like, he doesn't come to my bed anymore. He sleeps with her. And it's like, yeah, that's red flag 100.
Yeah, like, that's, yeah. Like, yeah, that's the first night that happens. It's like, what's going on?
The first night that happens, you go, hey, you gotta knock this shit off, or we're gonna have some real problems.
Yeah.
The actors are really good, because you even for a moment feel like, oh crap, this girl was told by her dad, don't say anything. Like, by the way she's acting.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much her, she knows something is wrong about what's happening, and she wants to tell people, but she can't tell them, because her dad probably threatened to kill her. or that they would take her away or something like that. It's always a horrible, horrible thing to do. But what's really cool is we see Medavoy kind of go hard on someone. Where I mean,
as hard as Medavoy can go.
He went Trojan horse hard on him. Where he started out like, hey man, you know, look, maybe you'll get counseling. I know probably it went a little too far with your daughter. You'll probably get counseling. Just admit to it and write everything down. And then I can recommend counseling. And then it's like, I just gotta read your rights as a formality. Basically tricking this asshole into going, yeah, I'm gonna put you in prison as a child molester. So I hope you enjoy prison dick. And it's great.
Yeah, Medavoy kind of outfoxes him, which was... that's what I think is Medavoy's strength. More than being angry and strong like Sipowicz. Is every now and then he can be clever and, like, be smart.
Well, he's the unassuming detective. Like,
yeah.
When you see Medavoy's face, you don't think this guy's going to try and put me in jail. You think this guy wants to go home. Like, this guy has a family to get to.
Or this guy wants to do my taxes.
Because even he comes in and he's like, look, man, I don't want to make this thing bigger than it is. Like, we can get you counseling, blah, 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 like, misunderstanding. Even though, like, deep down inside, this is like when Sipowicz or Simone knows the guy did it, but they have to keep their cool.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he gets the confession, he, like, picks him up and is like, I think you're a piece of shit. Like, I hope you go to prison for a long time, and I hate people like you. It was a sweet scene. Because...
And then the man, like, freaks out and starts, like, because he just realizes that Medavoy tricked him.
I wrote this down because it actually made me, like, feel gross. He says, remember what daddy told you. He screams that as he's being carried away.
Yeah, that was super creepy. That was a really good part of the scene, but I was just kind of like, oh, that's awkward. Like,
not a good scene to be,
No, not at all.
Also, I know you don't like him, but I just like when Medavoy shows up. Like, I enjoy him on the show, and I know you think he's a bitch, but...
I mean, he's good, but he's just the bitch of the show.
And he gets the sex pot. He gets the sex pot, and he's just living with her, too. It's crazy. While that was happening, Sipowicz and Simone, they have this son of a mob guy who was shot. And at one point, like, this mobster lawyer comes in. And it's cool because, like, Sipowicz already knows what it's about. But he lets the guy talk for a second anyway. Because it's obvious that the mob guy just wants to know if they have any leads so he can go crack skulls with his homies.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz basically just straight up tells him, like, I'm not going to give you a name so you can go kill him before we can talk to them.
Yeah.
Because, like, the guy's saying, well, you know, he's a father that's grieving. Like, wouldn't you want to know something? And Sipowicz is like, yeah, cut the shit, dude. Like, I know that... He wants to get his cronies onto the street to crack some skulls and kill some people, and that can't happen. It boils down to this model chick is from Jersey, and she's got a Jersey boy who is, like, her...
infatuated with her.
And also, they're, like, basically together? Because she knows...
I didn't think they were together. I thought that they liked each other... And then she was like, I'm moving to the city to, like, be a model. I don't need you anymore. But he was still infatuated with her. And so I think it felt like she liked the attention from both sides. But then the one Jersey dude found out about the mob kid and was like, fuck that. And just, like, lost it. Kind of like Lesniak's husband lost it.
But didn't you think that because during the interviews with her... Because the guy's name's Patty. And the woman's name is Paula. Patty and Paula.
Pee-pee.
And when they meet up later, like, there is kind of a moment where they're, like, they have some, like, intimacy with each other. But according to the storyline, she just, like, straight dumped him for the city life and then started banging rich dudes and photographers and other models.
Yeah, pretty much everybody, so, it seems like.
So was that just a front because she's like, oh, this guy's a murderer, I better keep on his good side?
What do you mean a front?
Like, she's just pretending to care about Patty because she's like, well, this guy just killed my, well, not my boyfriend, my, like, sugar daddy.
I think after they find out he did it, I think she does care for him because she, like, she knows him, but I don't think, I don't know. I just think she's like, oh, man. Like, I don't know. I think, like, she feels like it's her fault and cares for him, but at the same time, she's like, he's also a little nuts.
Because he mentioned that he was trying to save up for a little place and to get married and stuff. And that, yeah. That shit you kind of plan with the other person, I imagine.
Yeah, but she never talked about that stuff.
Yeah,
so she was... that's what makes you think it was all up in his head. And he thought that if he had more money, like this other mob guy, he would be able to support her. That's what I took from it.
Also, this episode has the it has some gratuitous ass and side boob because there's just a scene where they go to pick up this model woman and she's just taking pictures with a bunch of naked people in weird poses, or as I like to call it, the poses that cover up the bits that get you an R rating.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It was like a total Michael Bay PG-13 naked scene. They talked about that a lot in the book, how the show was hated by Christian groups and was actually banned by whole cities. Like, the whole city of Dallas would not broadcast the show, and bars that had satellite would have viewing parties, and they would do, like, triple the business that night. Oh, one thing that they did, because they do this occasionally for some of the people that they arrest for the crime, they coach Patty into saying that there was a struggle. Because Patty says, yeah, I went to go talk to him and said to leave her alone, and then he laughed at me. He said, like, just his face and his cocky attitude, I pulled out the gun and then I started firing at him. And then Sipowicz says to him, no, just say that there was kind of a struggle, you went for your gun and you felt threatened. Because they felt bad for him. Even though he then admits, like, I had no idea I killed that woman, and that's actually what changes his mind to confessing to the crime. And they even tell him, you know that his dad's connected, and he's probably gonna send some dudes to kill you once they figure out it was you. I don't know, it felt weird because that guy's responsible for the death of two people, but because he's a nice guy, and they felt like he was doing it for a decent reason, getting this girl away from this guy, they're coaching him to say that there was a struggle, which is... I don't know. It seems a little unethical if he also endangered the life of an old woman who wasn't doing anything.
Because he doesn't deserve it, I guess, in a way. Because they don't want him to, like, get the whole book thrown at him, I guess. They want him to kind of get some kind of leniency, even though he did kill a man.
And he killed, and he killed an old woman. He killed an innocent bystander.
I also think they don't want him to get charged for killing the whole woman either.
I was just pointing out that occasionally they'll do that in the show, where they'll coach the guy. They'll coach.
Yeah, because certain people, they, like, want to help, and certain people, they want to get, make sure that they get, not off, but get leniency, because they don't necessarily deserve to be, like, put away for, like, ever. I don't know.
And I just said it's interesting in this case, because the guy didn't just murder one dude out of, like, jealousy or passion. He also killed a woman. So it's not like... Because I see the point of, like, oh, well, let's give this guy a little bit of a break. Because he was in a shitty situation, and he did what he thought was right. And maybe he did it the wrong way, but he's not a bad guy. This guy might be a little too over his head about this girl. He, took the law into his own hands by killing this dude, putting himself and the girl in danger. Because now, if they find out about this situation, they might put the clamps on her, Futurama reference, and he killed a woman. So this guy is super irresponsible, but they're like, oh, well, let's be cool to him, because, like, he seems like a nice guy. Which is, I don't know. I didn't trust or believe that as much, but on the show, they do it quite a bit to humanize the characters.
At the same time, like, they also bring her into the room to talk to him. And you could kind of tell that, like, he I don't think he really grasps how in trouble he is, and how much, like, because he's more like infatuated with her than anything else, it seemed like. That's what I felt. But
and yeah, he even talks about like, oh well, like we'll figure this out and we'll be together, when it's like, it's not gonna be that easy, bro. Like
yeah, and that's why it makes me think like he doesn't really get it. Like he's not really there and not fully understanding what's going on.
I also wrote, what I wrote down is, I don't know, they seem more like rap lyrics. I wrote, cute meetup with Patty and Paula kinda sucks and bitches be trifling. Cause like, she caused the death of these people, but she gets to walk scot-free.
Wait, how is it her fault?
Well, she was still kind of dating this one guy in New Jersey and also sucking this other dude's D for free drinks in New York. The other guy goes crazy and kills that guy and a woman, and she just kind of skates off onto her model life, because she's not going to get hurting. She's just going to meet another guy within 2 weeks. I don't know. I felt that she was the real villain of the piece at some points. That also might be my raging chauvinism, so... Trump, Pence, 2016.
Yeah, I think I think you're being unfair to her. I don't think she,
and you know,
I don't think she did anything wrong. I don't think she, because I really don't think that she was with that other guy.
Right.
I felt that that guy thought they were more than what they really were.
And I guess the same could be said about the New York guy, because she said like, we're not together. He just comes over all the time and gets me into parties. She did say that they're not really boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't know. I don't like her. The point is this. This whole episode culminates in one important meeting where Simone takes people out to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird because the scene is set up where he brings the guys another round of beers and Sipowicz a club soda. And then immediately Medavoy and Martinez just leave. But like, they just got beers. So it was like, beer, sip, gotta go. So they just waste that entire beer that guy bought them. And it's even on the table half drink, which is so strange. And Sipowicz...
They gotta move the story along, bro.
And Simone says, talks about raising birds.
Well, he has that conversation on the phone where he keeps yelling the word cock.
Oh yeah, that's a real funny comedic moment where he's like, no, you tell them that something about the cock. I can't remember the exact line, but he just keeps saying cock.
You can't bring around that blue something cock, and then, yeah.
And everybody's just staring at him, and then he says, I raise birds. And then everyone goes, oh.
Yeah, because that's when Sylvia says to...
Sipowicz.
Yeah, you should tell him you raise fish.
And also the, now, because I haven't been with girlfriend in quite a while, is that just a thing about girls that they want dudes to be more sociable? And
yeah.
just suggest like, no, go talk to them. I'm sure you'll have interest. I mean, it doesn't matter now because I don't think we have any female listeners, but why do you force us to talk to people? Just let us be loners. That's what we want to do. Anyway. They get to this scene, and Sipowicz kind of gives them, like, the rub down where he goes, I have a clownfish that takes every single one of his eggs out and cleans it with his mouth and then puts them back. You see any pigeons do that? Which, it's like, it's not a fucking contest, man. They're... like, they both raise different kinds of animals. It's not that big a deal.
And you're both kind of bitches for raising two bitch animals.
Aw, well, I mean, they can't raise anything bigger in New York.
Birds and fish are dumb.
We're so spoiled with California. We have space. Like, well, not you. You live in New York right now, but you can't.
There's tons of people here with dogs,
but not huge dogs, right?
No, there's some pretty big dogs.
I don't know what I'm saying, but the point is, you can't. Also, raising fish and raising pigeons are different than dogs. We can agree to that.
Yeah, but raising pigeons here is a thing, and that's weird. Like,
well, it's because what else do you do on rooftops? Like, you have
but
to.
It's just weird. Like, out of everything to raise, like out of all the birds in the world, it's like, oh yeah, pigeons.
But yeah, they come back and then they can go places and bring people shit. And then Sipowicz and Simone are alone, and Sipowicz asks the question about his cushy assignment.
Yeah.
And Simone doesn't come out right out and say, he's like, I needed the stable hours. Because my wife died of breast cancer.
Well, his wife got sick, right?
And then eventually died of breast cancer.
Yeah.
And immediately after he says that, like, almost the second he says it, and they're like, oh, well, I gotta go. Sipowicz was like, are you sure you can go to dinner with me and my friend, which is Sylvia? Which is like, yeah, now you want to hang out with me because my wife died of breast cancer.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Like, it's almost like if the scene drew out a little bit more, it would seem more natural. Like, maybe they relate a little bit more, but it was literally like, yeah, my wife died of breast cancer. Wow, that's really sad to hear. Well, I better get going. Are you sure you don't want to hang out with my friends, even though I've been shitting on you for no reason all day? Like, it was such a quick reversal, which feels a little bit like pity, I imagine, for Simone. Like, oh, now that my wife had breast cancer, now it's no big deal.
That's funny. I've never really thought of it like that.
But, yeah, and what's weird is when they begin the second episode, they're not, like, the best of friends. So, like...
Yeah, they're still not, like, getting along that great.
So, he extends that olive branch just after that news, and then still isn't, like, sucking up to him every minute at work after that. So, it's like, just for a moment, he had that that feeling of, like, oh, man, I want to help this guy. Then he gets back to work, like, he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, it was just that quick switch.
Well, in the next one... Well, the next one, Sipowicz is still... we'll talk about it when we get there, but no, I get what you're saying.
Is there anything else in this episode you want to speak about?
No, we brought up that he talks about... He yells the word cock like 4 times.
This episode also has Sipowicz coming to terms with the fact that he has to wear glasses.
Oh, yeah, he has a problem with that.
And there's a moment where he's vulnerable with Simone, because he, like... At the end, they do paperwork together, and Sipowicz, like, brings him, like, Greek food. He's like, this is some Greek thing from some Greek place, and, like, hands it over to him. And then he puts on his glasses, he's like, I gotta wear glasses now. And, like, that's them palling around right now, because they're not, like, friends yet. But it's just, I gotta wear glasses now.
Maybe that's also Sipowicz's way of dealing with it.
Because, yeah, earlier in the episode, he was putting them on in, like, the bathroom and then hiding the fact that he was wearing them.
Yeah, and he kind of just puts it out there, like, I have to wear glasses, like, I'm just talking about it right now, you know?
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com. We're on Twitter, AsherBrosPod, on Instagram, AsherBrothersPodcast. If you have any interest in the show or talking to us, you can there. It'll mostly be talking to me, because I think I run everything in terms of social media. We're coming out every other Tuesday, and what's very strange, and I'll talk about it now, this episode, if I have it correct, will be coming out the day we vote.
Oh, yeah.
For the propositions and the new president and our... representative seats and things like that. And
It'll be interesting Tuesday.